You're listening to Voice of the Shoe Swap, and this is one of a series of interviews with candidates in the upcoming federal election. The election will be taking place Monday, April 28th, and we urge every listener, in fact, every eligible citizen, to get out and vote. There are several ways you can vote: at an electoral office, in advance polls, by mail, or on Election Day. For more information, please go to elections.ca and click on How to Vote. CKVS doesn't take a position on who to vote for, and to be entirely fair and impartial, we ask all candidates we interview the same questions. We hope their answers will interest and inform you as you prepare to cast your vote.
I'm Tom Grady, and today we're delighted to have Owen Madden with us here in the studio, who is running as the candidate for the Federal Green Party in the upcoming federal election in our riding, which is Kamloops, Shuswap, Central Rockies. Welcome, Owen, and thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
People have called this one of the most important elections in Canadian history. How do you feel about that, and how do you feel about being caught up in this moment?
Well, I mean, there's never been any more important time to be involved in politics. How I feel about it is that it's right that we're interested and focused on our relationship with the United States. And it's right that we're interested and focused on our growing inequality gap in this country. And it's important for me to remind folks that we still have some big global challenges, such as climate change, just as the need to transition our economy off of fossil fuels. And oftentimes, I think in times of crisis and emergency, we're just sort of dragged away from some of those bigger conversations. And I sometimes wonder, in fact, if this is the type of politic that has emerged to try and distract us from doing the inevitable and transitioning our economies. So I feel privileged to be involved, and I feel determined to be at that annoying voice that's there and keeps reminding people, hey, Donald Trump hasn't stopped emissions, and quite the opposite. And I think he's probably doing a good job of increasing them. So here I am.
So let's talk a bit about how you got to be a candidate. Were you involved in politics or interested in political matters before this election?
Yeah, well, I mean, I ran in 2020 in the provincial elections. That was also a snap election. That time, the NDP provincially had gotten fed up with the Green Party and wanted to kick it to the curb. And so I had to step in and do what I could locally. I have always been interested in politics because I believe it's a critical component of us addressing our global challenges. Going back to where I began as a lawyer, a criminal lawyer back in Ireland. So when you're a criminal prosecutor, you're intuitively aware of policy and regulations and how, you know, lives are directly affected by changes in government. And then only to be completely turned on my head by a conversation with a random potato farmer who told me about the changes he was experiencing on his farm. Drastic changes in the growing seasons. And this is about 20 years ago. So he didn't use the term climate change at the time. But I knew that what he had described to me was something enormous, something very real. And for me, very life-changing. And it set me on a course to re-educate into climate change law. And I got to work in one of the two places on Earth where there are law firms that work on that area. One is Geneva and the other one's Vancouver. So lucky me, I got to work for EcoJustice for some time and then advocated for climate action in the environmental NGO community in Vancouver. And then got my head turned again by a young lady who wanted to go farm in the Okanagan. So, and there is a connection there. We would say our type of farming, organic and regenerative, is a climate action applied, if you will. So we've never looked back, and our community has really supported us. So I've always been keenly aware of the impact of politics on my life and on our lives.
Let's move on to talk a bit more about your background. Were you born in this part of the world?
No, I mean, this isn't a Grinrod accent that you can hear me speaking with. So obviously, I grew up in Ireland and did become a criminal prosecutor there. And looking back, I think I feel quite lucky to have had the privilege of having an Irish upbringing, and then very privileged to have the option to choose to become a Canadian citizen and swearing an oath to the Queen when you're raised as an Irishman who has ancestry who would have died to prevent that needing to happen. That was a big step for me, but it was the right step. And I've only ever felt included and supported and welcomed in this country. So I owe a lot back to it.
Tell us something about your family. What kind of family were you born into, and what's your living situation now?
Well, my mom and dad, my mom was a teacher. My dad was a tradesman. He would have been what you guys call a drywaller here in Canada. He was a plasterer in Europe, where they don't just mud the seams, they mud the whole wall. And it's a full trade in itself. But then he injured his back and he became a teacher of trades. And so really, I was raised by two teachers. My living situation now is I'm residing right on the Shuswappen, farming an area of about 15 acres in organic vegetables, along with my farmer wife, Emily. And we have a business called Nature Delivered, which supports our farm and a number of other farms. So we have a young daughter. She's 4, and she's a big, big personality. So we find ourselves running to stand still these days, but it's all enjoyable.
Since living in this area, what sort of work and other activities have you been involved in?
Oh, I mean, I love a good run in the fresh air and doing some of the climbs along the Enderby Cliffs and all, and the other trails around me. I feel blessed for it. And then transitioned into trying to cross-country ski and then trying to skate ski. There's a famous movie called White Men Can't Jump. I think they need to make one called Irish Men Can't Skate. It's quite the sight to see me trying to skate, but I'm getting a little better now. I think I'm getting a little bit of a fluidity to that, but it's one hell of a workout. So yeah, skate skiing in the winter and running in the summer.
What is it that keeps you here?
Oh, that's a good question. Fundamentally, I believe in Canadians. I know that's probably a cliche, but I'm asking Canadians to do something that's quite ambitious. You know, when Ireland divested from fossil fuels, I remember thinking to myself, you know, is that because the Irish care more about climate change? And it's because the Irish don't have skin in the game. And here in Canada, we have skin in the fossil fuel game. And so I understand how there's a perception that we have a lot to lose were we to move away from oil, gas and coal. But at the same time, I believe in Canadians and their ability to be strategic and pragmatic and to recognize that the time is now and the future is not oil, gas and coal. And so what keeps me here is the outsized role that Canada will play in the story of climate change globally.
Let's talk about what it's like to be a candidate. Have you gone through any kind of training program with your party?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're inundated with policy updates every single day. I think that my baptism of fire back in 2020 meant that when I asked to run this time for the federal party, they could see that I'd been through the mill originally. So yes, you do get coached a little bit on how to present at an all candidates debate, which I'm going to tonight. You're asked, you know, what sort of team do you have? Here's a suggested team that you should build. So yeah, you do get supports from the party that you run and with, and the Green Party is no different.
And what's a typical day like for you now?
Juggling a lot. Now, well, let's pick today. Today I had to go first thing in the morning, borrow a wood splitter from my neighbor to run on my tractor because I'm way behind in getting my firewood split and stacked and cured for next autumn. Then into the computer to research some areas that I suspect will come up tonight in the forum. Back out then to sort of work on another machine that we need for our weeding. So juggling farming today was juggling farming, juggling preparation for the forum, responding to emails from supporters and from media requests that come in. So at the moment it is, I'm about the best male multitasker I could be right now, I'd say.
Is being a candidate like you thought it would be?
Yeah, I think again, going back to 2020, I think I learned a lot from that. And this experience is similar. I think there's more demand on the candidate, more requests for the candidate to do this, you know, appear in media. And so I'm very lucky to have a very supportive campaign manager and an official agent and some volunteers. And, you know, I work in tandem with the riding south of us and a great candidate there called Blair. So I do have other people around me to help me out. I have a very supportive partner who is holding it down right now. So we've, you know, our family decided this was a sacrifice worth making. And it's also a privilege for me.
What are two or three goals you're proud of achieving since you've been working in the public service sector?
well, you know, working in the public service sector back in Ireland, just representing the Irish nation and making sure that the rights of the accused persons in criminal scenarios were respected, that their humanity was respected. And that carries through to this day, where we're hearing some sloganeering about crime. Crime is a very complex issue with, you know, many different ways to address the solution to it, all of which we need. And so when you hear sort of simple slogans about how to put them away or whatever, those are not solutions to crime. Public service here for us looks like delivering farmed product from our farm and from 12 other farms directly to people's doors, bringing them nutrition and bringing them product that hasn't traveled thousands and thousands of kilometers. So we think that's of a public service. We're not running a charity. We manage to actually hold down a family's income from what we do. But there are long hours, and there are some days where we wonder what the hell we're doing, and we believe we are of service to the public.
What particular qualities do you feel you bring to your candidacy, and not just what the party's looking for, but what qualities that you have personally that make you a suitable candidate?
Well, I mean, you know, we had a forum last night in Armstrong, and at the end of it, I thanked everyone that was there, but also Mel Arnold, our current, you know, Conservative, our MP, for the decency and the respect that everyone shows each other in these political conversations. And so I'd like to think that I'm bringing a willingness to be upfront and assertive about how I see where we are as a country and where we need to go, but also show the respect and dignity that people should be shown regardless of their political perspective. That could how they see the world could really frustrate me, but I also want to show them dignity and respect because we are a country of diverse perspectives and we all need to get along.
What particular policies of the Green Party do you feel most strongly about, or what ones resonate the most with you personally?
Well, I mean, you know, everyone's going to assume what the Green Party stands for, and it's what I stand for too. I mean, I may run for the Green Party, but I work for my daughter and her future. We've run out of time on climate change. It's affecting us in the here and now. 2023, we saw the Roots and Blues Festival here in Salmon Arm cancelled because of a wildfire driven by climate change. So we're experiencing it. It's costing us a lot right now. There's a wonderful opportunity for us to generate energy jobs just in renewable energies. We're not attacking the energy industry in Canada. We're looking to transform that energy industry. But also, you know, in a wider sense, you know, diversity and inclusivity. Unfortunately, from where I'm standing, the transgender community, for one, has suffered more, I think, you know, issues around acceptance in this writing, and it has been driven by a program that I feel demonizes them. And so I have friends in that community, and I'm proud to stand for a political party that says they haven't harmed you, so leave them. What's the problem? That, you know, not only should we include and accept folks from the transgender community, but we should celebrate the fact that they're here with us because they're a wonderful gift to our society. That's my view.
You're running for a national party in a national election, and two important issues are affecting all voters in all parties: the climate crisis, as you mentioned, and the actions of the current U.S. government led by Donald Trump. So let's discuss them in turn. The changing climate and increased extreme weather events, how will your party deal with this serious problem?
It's a serious problem. It's a serious opportunity. And so the other parties, as far as we're concerned, they fall into two brackets. They're either in full denial of our need to transition our economy away from oil, gas, and coal. And I would include the Conservative Party and the PPC in that bracket. There's parties who are incremental about their approach to addressing the issue. When you're incremental, you say things like, we could be an energy superpower with both oil, gas, and coal and renewables. You know, we can commit to reducing our contribution to climate change and build the Kinder Morgan pipeline. I can't square that circle. It's really challenging for me. When I hear things like that, I imagine someone saying to me, listen, I'm going to give up gambling. I just need to go and pay for a 30-year subscription to a gambling website before I do. You know, I just can't get that. So in the case of the Green Party, we're a transformational change. We will transform the energy industry in this country to one that's based on renewables and generate a lot of jobs in between, and prove it to be a just transition for those who work in the oil, gas and coal industry right now and who deserve the opportunity to retrain. I have enough respect for those workers to say the future is not oil, gas and coal. And so join with us, retrain with us. We'll transition you. We will be an energy superpower in the right, the clean, the emission free type of energy.
The U.S. government under Donald Trump is disrupting many aspects of that country's government and constitution. How will your party specifically address this ongoing situation and its impact on Canada?
Yeah, well, you know, in some ways, we have to thank the Trump administration for showing us things like the silly interprovincial trade barriers that we've managed to develop over the years, to show us how deeply dependent we are in our trade with the United States, and challenge us to show how strong a nation we can be. We need to continue to talk about how we can link up this nation from west to east. You know, we hear talk of oil pipelines, and we say, what about electricity grids? You know, why can't they all be the energy of the future is electrons, not energy from burning oil, gas and coal. But when it comes to tariffs, I think if we just stand toe to toe and just issue reciprocal tariffs, as we're led into that discussion by the United States, I think we should be more strategic than that. And then locally, there's the whole concept of our protected industries in dairy and egg production, which I've heard Donald Trump reference directly himself, how we protect our dairy producers. 80% of the land in the valley I live in is owned and operated by dairy farmers. And so my role in Ottawa, should I get that role, would be to defend their businesses and to say that the dairy industry in the Okanagan is not going to be traded off against something like steel workers in the East Coast.
What other issues that are national in scope, or even international for that matter, do you feel are important?
Well, I mean, I think the state of our politic in general, we can either vote out of hope or we can vote out of fear. And I think there's an awful lot of fear, or even, unfortunately, hate-driven politics in the world, whether it's the United States. I believe we're seeing it here in Canada, also in Europe. And so I'm hoping that folks can step up and say, listen, you know, I'm going to vote for the future I want rather than to prevent the person I'm scared of from ruling my country. A big national issue in juxtaposition to other nations is how flawed our electoral system is, period. I mean, I grew up in a nation that has proportional representation where every vote counted. The electoral system in Canada sells people short. It's archaic, and it benefits the Conservative Party over any other party in Canada. And so Justin Trudeau broke a promise to fix that. And I want the democracy here in Canada to operate as well as it does in countries like Ireland. So that's another big issue for me, is just how cheapened we are by this electoral system we live with here.
What issues do you feel locally, meaning in the riding, are the dominant matters that you will focus on if you're elected?
Well, I mean, there's the cost of living and affordability, which I feel everyone is feeling. The gap in equality, when it comes to our income, 1% of Canadians own 26% of our wealth. So there's been a massive wealth transfer from the public to the private and into smaller numbers of hands. And so that's been aided and abetted by successive Liberal and Conservative parties in governance and their policies. And so we have to make life more affordable. And to turn the corner on this, the Green Party says, if you're one third of the Canadians that earn $40,000 or less, you should pay no income tax. And how we can afford to do that is to get the folks who are the uber wealthy, the 1%, the super large corporations who are exploiting tax loopholes, we can get those folks to actually pay their share.
What is the one thing, or perhaps two or three things, that you'd really like to accomplish if you were elected?
I'd like to accomplish electoral change. We must not live with the first past the post electoral system. It's defunct. And it cheapens everyone's participation in democracy. And so were I there, I would make sure that we changed that. And we wouldn't make up some sort of excuse to not do it. If we were elected, we would just do it. The second thing is to address the affordability challenges that we have in this country. And part of that is to, you know, provide this income tax break that then releases monies to be spent in local economies. So we get to relocalize our situation here. And the third thing would be a longer program, but to be totally focused on transitioning our energy systems in this country to ones that are emission free, to give my daughter a fighting chance of having a livable future.
How do you intend to try and achieve those goals if you're in office? What would be your action?
Well, you know, if you're to look at the likelihood of the Green Party being in office, I think it would likely end up in a coalition. We believe that the Liberal Party does its best work as a minority government. And oftentimes Green Parties, whether they're in Germany or Europe in general or here in British Columbia, they often end up in a coalition with a larger party, holding them responsible and accountable on climate change. It's a check and balance. And I think that we could be very impactful working together with one of the other larger parties.
How do you see your days going if you're elected?
Lots of Zoom calls if I'm in Ottawa. God bless Zoom. My funny anecdote, my parents are in Ireland and every Sunday we talk to them at noon Canadian time. And my parents say it's like I just come in and sit down on the couch. You know, FaceTime has really changed, and other applications like that. They've really changed connectivity across huge distances. I would much rather be in the riding than in Ottawa, but, you know, the person has to go do their job. And so listening and just staying in touch with everyone locally, making sure that they feel like they have a strong voice in Ottawa for their issues, what they find is important locally.
If you're elected, would you support funding for community radio and public broadcasting such as the CBC?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I knew of the CBC, defund the CBC push, we'll say, by the Conservative Party, which raised eyebrows. In fact, they've been odd when it comes to media coverage of their campaign this year. More than any other time, they haven't allowed CBC reporters on the campaign trail with them in their an airplane or bus or whatever it is they travel around with, and have been a little heavy-handed with a reporter from the Globe and Mail. Writ large, public radio, absolutely. I mean, what radio and reporters and people like you are doing is you're voicing the public's need for information. You are the public. And the public has a lot less hold over politicians if they don't have radio, they don't have interviewers, and they don't have folks like me having to answer questions, easy or tough. And so, yeah, it's a no-brainer for me. And in fact, I can't believe that we're at a stage where it would be a realistic political platform to defund a public broadcaster like CBC.
And a final question. If you're elected, what are the things you'd like to be remembered for after you've completed your time in office?
Well, I'd like to be remembered for someone who represented the challenge that we had regarding our emissions, our outsized contribution to climate change. And I'd like to be remembered as someone who helped this nation see how much stronger it became from doing the right thing. I think it would be a fair society. I think we'd be proud of ourselves for having shown global leadership on what is a challenging, I admit that, a challenging situation regarding our energy and climate change. So I'd like to be remembered as someone who played a little part of the role in giving us that courage and that drive.
And that's the last of our questions. Thank you very much, Owen, for taking the time to come into the studio and share your story with us. And good luck in the upcoming election.
Thank you so much.
This is CKVS FM 93.7, the voice of the Shuswap, and you've been listening to our interview with Owen Madden, who is running as the candidate for the Federal Green Party in the upcoming federal election in our riding, which is Kamloops, Shuswap, Central Rockies.
Once again, we urge you to vote in this very important election. You can find all the information you need about voting by going to elections.ca. You can hear our interviews again with all the candidates who consented to being interviewed by visiting voiceoftheshoeswap.ca, clicking on podcasts, and scrolling down to 2025 federal election coverage. Thank you for listening.